Hey there, this is Seth Wars from Channel 9 coming to you from the beautiful Cambridge offices where there's a lot of data scientists. And here this week in Massachusetts, we're talking about data science. And I have a special guest with us. Tell us who you are and what you do.
Sure. I'm Francesca. I'm a data scientist in the algorithm and data science team here in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And I work on different use cases with external customers, especially in the energy sector. Mm-hmm. What I do, I build predictive models for them to forecast something in the future. Mm-hmm. In this case, is energy demand forecasting is a very common use case that we have been working on for a while.
So we've talked before, and one of the things that we discussed is sort of how part of the data science process is understanding your data.
Yeah.
And today you're going to help us do that with Power BI.
Yeah. So I think that data visualization in general is very important, both at the beginning and at the end of the data science process. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, because it really helps you in a sense your data, in understanding what is your data, what are the different type of features that you can build on top of it. And at the end, it really helps you in communicating what your results are. So for example, in a data science scenario, it is important to visualize and communicate what are the results of your model, your experiments that you have built, in this case in Azure ML.
Fantastic. So let's get started. Maybe you can educate us on this.
Sure. So let's start to understand why we visualize data. So we visualize data, I think, to meet a very basic need, that is to tell a story. And vision is one of the most important functionality that we have in order to communicate information. And I think that today we are pretty familiar with different type of charts, such as a line chart, bar chart, or pie chart. Mm-hmm. But we never really ask ourselves why those charts are more effective than a text or a number of a table. So let's start with a very simple table here. If we ask ourselves what is the quarter in which we had the highest number of import. So in a table, what we have to do, we have to look at each row, do some math, and then really try to understand what is the highest number. Mm-hmm. But how about if I transform these in a line chart, for example? You can see that now it's very easy to answer our question. So we immediately understand that in quarter four, we had the highest number of import. Then another thing that is very important, in my opinion, to understand is the different goals of data visualization. So there are two main goals. One is explanatory, and the second one is exploratory. Mm-hmm. So even if those two words are very similar, they have completely different meanings. So explanatory really means explain data in order to answer a specific question or to solve a problem. So the viewer in this case has a question, and then he visualizes something and he gets the answer. So for example, in this case, in this example, the question can be, what is the country with the highest number of import? And immediately you can see that is the United States. Mm-hmm. So the knowledge flow is always question, visualization, and then answer. Exploratory visualization and goals is something that is a little bit more sophisticated because it really allows you to explore a big data set to have a better understanding of something, like to get insights about a specific events or phenomenon. In this case, as you can see, the user can add some more dimension to a visualization. In this case, we are using a chart. And so a little bit more dimension, and you can also compare different data sets. So this type of goals allows you to even ask more questions. So during the visualization, you can get more, you can have more questions, and also to explore and get new insights while you are visualizing something. Like in this case, as you can see, we are comparing different countries, in this case, United States, UK, Mexico, Japan, and we are looking at what are the quarters where they have a highest number of imports. So this is a little bit more sophisticated.
I see. So explanatory is more of a situation when you have a specific question, you get a visualization that gets you the answer.
Yeah.
Exploratory is more of a situation where you're not sure what the question might be and you want to sort of come up with the right question.
Exactly. Okay. And especially with the rise of big data, this type of visualization gained a lot of importance in recent years because, of course, you have the bigger data set, so you really need to get some insights before even you start your analysis. Another concept that I think that is very important to mention is pre-attentive attributes. So those attributes in the visualization, in visual language in general, are the ones that catch your attention, you catch your eyes immediately, in less than 10 milliseconds. And are very important when you decide how you want to visualize your data. Let's say that, again, if we go back to the first question, what is the country with the highest number of import? If you use a pie chart, maybe it's not the most effective visualization because you really do not see the difference between the different part of this pie chart. But if you use a bar chart, you immediately see the difference between the different country and you immediately see that the answer is the United States. So if we go back to the pre-attentive attributes, in that case we use a line length that was under the form part and that really helped us in deciding what was the best visualization. And the final things for data visualization is also the analytical partners. So I see the pre-attentive attributes like a sort of the alphabet of visual language, and the analytical patterns are more the words that we use in order to build our visualization. So for example, there can be one pattern can be high, low, and in between, another one can be steady and fluctuating, and there are different examples in this table that I build so that you can really decide based on your data what is the best visualization to communicate the most important information that is there, is in the data that you have.
So let's see if this, I understand the pre-attentive stuff. This, does this tell you sort of are these the analytical patterns?
Yes.
Do these analytical patterns sort of tell you what type of chart to use, or are they describing how your data is grouped, or what is it that this actually tells you?
Yes, so these analytical partners are based on pre-attentive attributes. So the pre-attentive attributes are really the base of the basic knowledge that there is in data visualization. And these analytical partners allows you to decide based on the data that you have what is the best visualization that you can build.
I see.
Like for example, and also not only decided what is the best visualization that you can use for the data that you have, but also see the results and what the data are telling you. So what I usually suggest is that based on the different pre-attentive attributes that you want to use, you can try out different type of analytical partners, and based on that, see really what your data is telling you, and then proceed with your analysis, data analysis.
Okay.
So doing this presentation, as you can notice, I use Power BI. So Power BI is a very powerful tool for data visualization and allows the user to create a different type of very interactive visualization with also self-service BI capabilities.
Right.
R is another powerful language for statistical data analysis. It is very popular between data scientists, statisticians, business analysts also. And what is important in R is also that it's very powerful for data visualization in general. So it's not only for statistical data analysis. And also that is that behind R there is a open source community. So you can learn and you can contribute to that community. So this is a very beautiful aspect of R. And the beautiful things is that R is and Power BI are integrated.
Sure.
So
So before we start, I have a couple of questions. This software that you're using is Power BI, correct? So is there different flavors of Power BI, and how can someone sort of get their hands on this so if they want to follow along, they can?
Yeah, so this is a very important question. So first of all, there are two versions of Power BI. There is the Power BI desktop version, that is the one that I'm using right now, and then there is the Power BI online. Mm-hmm. Power BI Online, I see it as a second step. So you use the Power BI desktop to create offline your visualization, mm-hmm. and then you publish those visualization in Power BI Online, and you create a dashboard that you can share with different teams, also within your organizations. So this is, let's say, the final product, the final dashboard that you want really to show. Why Power BI Desktop is the second level, the level that you really use when you think about your visualization, when you are in the building process of your data visualizations. And the coolest thing about Power BI is that you can connect it to different type of sources. As you can see, also, if you look at online services, you can connect it to Facebook, Google Analytics, and so on. So it really helps you in connecting a powerful visualization tool directly to the data source. So I think that this is pretty cool, especially at the beginning of your data science project, because you can immediately start to visualize your raw data since the beginning and really understanding what your data is telling you.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome, because that's exactly the question I was going to ask next. Where do you get the data? So when you're working offline, because this is what we're doing with Power BI Desktop, and you're working online, my guess is that, like, there's going to be a lot of data. Does it bring all the data down to the desktop to do the visualizations, and then when you upload it, it uses that data again?
No, so the connection, it depends on the type of the connection that you create. Of course, with a larger data set, usually it's better to connect it to an online source, and you can then, when you publish the Power BI Desktop file that you have created on Power BI Online, that connection is there. So it's not that you bring your data in your local machine and then you publish your data again. But that connection remains there, so it's very easy. Then another technique that I usually use is the aggregation. Power BI helps you a lot with aggregating data, mm-hmm. and sometimes it does it for you in automatically. Mm-hmm. So it's something that also you can use when you have to deal with big data sets.
Sure.
And another cool thing is that you can schedule data refresh, both in Power BI Desktop and in Power BI Online. What this means that, for example, if you are using the data directly from a specific website and you get new data every hour, you can schedule the data refresh, so every hour your visualization are updated and you're going always to visualize new data in real time.
I see. Okay.
So, in this case, for this short demo, I already connected my Power BI Desktop with my data source. It was a simple Excel file. Let me show you the Excel file. This is a simulated data for about school enrollment in the United States. So I import this file, that as you can see is in Excel, in my Power BI Desktop environment. So since I really want to use R, I just need to click on R Script Visual. And here, as you can see, the R Script Editor open up for you. And you can bring the different fields that you have under your model. In this case, let's say that I want to bring year, age group, enrolled, and also let's bring type. Mm-hmm. Immediately, you can see that in these windows, a data frame is created for you. And this data frame is called dataset. And you have the different columns that you want to use for your data visualization. Let's say that I do not want to consider the day, the month, the quarter. Let's just consider year. And so I just deleted them from the values mm-hmm. part. So now I have only year, age group, enroll, and type. So right now I'm ready to paste or type my R script code here, as you can see. For this demo, I already prepared yesterday some simple code. And let's say that we want to visualize a scatter plot, so I can use the plot command in R to create this scatter plot mm-hmm. between ear and enroll. Then I just need to click on run, and immediately the scatter plot is going to be visualized. And as you can see, you can compare ear against enroll. So this is pretty cool. Just write here your code in R and you can reproduce the same visualization that you have in R Studio here. Then let's say that you want to make this a little bit more beautiful. Let's say that you want to change the colors, the label of the X and Y axis. And also, for example, let's say that we want to put like also the best fit line mm-hmm. to understand better our data. So I can write my query, and I can, as you can see, I can change a little bit my graph, and also I can, let's say, as I told you before, I want to put the best fit line and color blue just to make it even nicer. And again, I can create this. So this is a very simple visualization, but as you can see, with just a few R codes and with a few clicks, I can immediately have my own visualization here in Power BI. And then let's also think about something that is a little bit more sophisticated. For example, I want to create a coplot matrix. So a matrix layout that allows me to compare the different dimensions that I have in this data set. So again, I can write my code here, I can make it run. And as you can see, I'm going to minimize this. And then in a few seconds, it's going also to enlarge a little bit. Mm-hmm. And as you can see here, I can compare different here. And also the age group, like 14, 19 years, 20, 21 years, 22, 24 years, and so on until 35 and over. And I can see also what is the trend for the enroll dimension. And finally, let's also add another dimension to this visualization. That is, for example, the type of school that mm-hmm. they are enrolled to. So again, I can restore my R script visual windows, I can paste it again, and I can make it run again. So here again, I have an even more sophisticated visualization where I can compare the different type, like second year, graduate, undergraduate, with the how many students are enrolled for that specific year, and what are the different age group for those students that are enrolled.
So this is pretty impressive, because like initially I thought you were just gonna drag like a bar chart on or something, mm-hmm. which is nice, because I assume that when you do, you drag the visualization from here where it says visualizations, and then you just sort of drag values on and stuff happens, yeah. right? But here what you're effectively doing is you're actually coding a visualization, and anything you can do in R can be visualized in Power BI.
Yes. And the cool stuff is that you can also mix inbuilt visualization with R. Let's say that, for example, I want to add two different type of filters to this visualization, such as age group and enroll, and let's build a donut chart. Mm-hmm. And here, let's put this filter for me here. And then let's again say that I want to use type as again as another different type of filter. So I'm just going to create these, and I'm going to put here. So I can use this inbuilt visualization as a filter for my visualization, customized visualization that I created with the R code. Let's say that I want to select just 22 to 24 years age group, and then only graduate. So as you can see, the visualization that I create in R is changing based on the requirements that I'm asking it to do. So really, you can have even more detailed information about your data.
I see.
So this integration, I think that for data scientists and for any data science project is extremely important.
Especially in the exploratory phase, where you're trying to find out what features may or may not be useful in your predictions.
Exactly. So this was just a short demo that I created for you. Mm-hmm. And really, I wanted to show you how the integration between R and Power BI, that are super powerful tools for data scientists in general, are very well integrated today in Power BI. And finally, what you can do, as I was telling you before, as soon as you are ready with your visualization, you can publish it, and you can publish it in powerbi.com. And so at that point, you can really share it with just a link to different with different people or different teams within your organization.
So this is pretty amazing. So let me see if I'm understanding. Yeah. So on the right side, you have the fields that are available in your data set.
Yeah.
You may or may not have more than one data set in there.
Yeah.
Okay. The other question is regarding visualizations. Are these the only visualizations you can do? Clearly with R, you can do any kind of visualization
exactly.
that's available in R, but can you make your own custom visualizations as well?
Yes, you can. So what is cool of Power BI is that there is a Power BI gallery. Let's go. That is a place where different user of Power BI publish their own visualization, their own customized visualization. So it's like very similar to R. There is a community mm-hmm. that is sharing their knowledge and their expertise about Power BI. So what is cool of this, let's say that we do not have a specific graph. What I really like is the Sankey graph. You can just click, you can download the visual. And then if we go back to Power BI, you can just click Power BI Desktop, you can just click on this and you import the file. And so you can immediately, like in few seconds, have also that specific customized visualization that you do not find here. Moreover, if you go here to the Power BI gallery, there is also a way to submit your own visualization. Mm. So if you want to create your own visualization, you can also submit it and have it here. So literally, there are different ways that you can use in order to visualize your data if you are not happy enough with those inbuilt visualizations.
And so once you have your visualizations, then it's pretty much the standard stuff here where below visualizations you can add legends, you can add filters, there can be grouping.
Yeah, another important distinction to make is the difference between this part, the fields part, and the format part. So the fields part is the part that helps you with the different fields that you have under your model. So when I say fields, I mean literally the different columns that you have in your table.
Got it.
And here you can filter them, you can put the legend values, and then you can build different type of filters. As I told you before, there are visual level filters, page level filters, or let's say report level filters. Report level filters are, let's say that I want to put here the let's say the type of schools that we have. So for the entire report, I'm going to filter only a specific type of schools. So for the entire report, I'm going to visualize only the data that are linked to that type of school. And then the second part is the format. The format is more, let's say, aesthetic. So you can decide to have a legend or no. You can decide a different type of data colors for each feature that you have in your model. You can decide to change the title, as you can see, the background, mm-hmm. the border. So I use a lot of these functionalities, but especially at the end of a specific project when you really want to make your visualization even more better.
So there is a distinction you made that I think is important between a report and a page.
Yeah.
Is the report all of the whole thing that you're working on and the pages, those tabs at the bottom?
Yeah. Okay. So this is a great question again. And also there is a distinction between dashboard, reports, and page.
Okay.
So the dashboard, as I told you, it's the last step. So when you really publish something in Power BI, you pin on that dashboard only the visualization that you really think are the most important one,
mm-hmm.
and you are the ones that you also want your user to see at the beginning. So you pin those important visualization on the dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
Then they can click on those visualization that are tiles on the dashboard, and they are directed to the report level. The report level is this one. So it's really what you build in Power BI Desktop, and is the entire report.
Mm-hmm.
And then the entire report, as you can see, has different pages. So in the different pages, you can add more visualization, and the total of pages that you create make the report.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a sort of hierarchy that we have in Power BI. And I think that is as soon as you understand it, makes things much easier to follow, especially in a data visualization project, because you know that you will start with a general overview of the project with a dashboard. And then if you want to look for more information, you can go to the report level. And then if you want, again, to look for even more detailed information, you can look at each single page. That's why we call it interactive visualization, because the user is really active in looking for more information.
So I'm having trouble making the distinction between a dashboard and a report. I understand that the report is this whole thing and the pages are the things at the bottom. Is a dashboard sort of like the sort of the instance of the report?
So let's go and let's build a dashboard together so
okay.
that maybe I can show you what I mean.
Okay.
So I'm going to close. I'm done with my Power BI report. I'm very happy with my visualization. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to open my Power BI. Online. So I have already an account. So as you can see, Power BI Online, you just need to sign in with your credential. And then let's go to my workspace. And over here, I can, here I already have some dashboard. And let's create a new dashboard. So you have to click on the plus. So let's call it Channel 9
Fantastic.
Dashboard. So you can get the data. In this case, it's a file. It's a Power BI Desktop file. And you click on Local File. And then let's choose Part 2. Channel 9 part 2 is my Power BI file.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, your data, your visualization is here. So what you need to do is you click on that. And as you can see, I have the same report that I was using with you before here. But at this point, we are on online. We are in Power BI Online.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the same exactly page. What I can do, I can click, let's say that I'm interested just in this donut chart. I can pin this visual to the dashboard. You pin it. And then let's say that I want to, let me see, also to pin another visual that I think that is important for my customers. Let's say, let's pin also this one.
Sure.
This is another visualization that I create in R. So then we have been a couple of visualizations. So we go back to our dashboard, that is Channel 9. And as you can see, you have those two visualizations pinned here. You can adjust also the size if you want. You can make them smaller or bigger, whatever you prefer to do. Like say in this case, I want it bigger. Let me also adjust the visualization, the zoom a little bit. Let's put it in 100. So here you have your dashboard. You can pin even more visualization. So this is the dashboard level where you just pin the 4 or 5 visualization that you really think are very important to give an overview of your data science project. At this point, you share this link, that is the link that is unique with your dashboard, with, let's say, a coworker or with another team in Microsoft. And then they see this, they say, oh, this is very nice, but I want to understand more about this data set. So they can just click on that tile, and they're going to be directed to the bigger picture, that is at the report level. So at the report level, they can have even more detail about a specific project. And then let's say that they want to go and see page 1, page 3 of your report, so they can have more visualization.
I see. And so what's happening is a dashboard is you're pinning some of the visualizations in your report on various pages onto this main thing. Yep. That's sort of like, this is more the explanatory, where the other is more the exploratory.
Exactly.
Okay.
This is
fantastic.
What I mean.
Yeah. So yeah. Where can people go to find out more to get started with Power BI?
PowerBI.com mm-hmm. is the main source of knowledge. Over there, as I show you, there is also the gallery mm-hmm. where you can find a lot of different customized visualization, and also there is a lot of white papers, instructions that really can help you in building your own visualization. Usually, I always suggest people to start with the inbuilt visualization module that you know are very easy mm-hmm. to use, and then you can use your own R code, or you can just create your own customized visualization.
Well, this has been super fantastic. It's certainly cleared up a lot of things for me. Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for watching. Again, we're at the Cambridge, Massachusetts office for Microsoft, talking to a wonderful data scientist about how you too can do data science. Thanks so much for watching. My name is Seth Juarez, Channel 9. We'll see you next time.